2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form.
By searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. Now, look, for those of us who have been doing this for a minute, this used to be a really big day. I mean, a really big day. When there was just one signing day, and it was in February, this was blow out the budget, nonstop coverage. Now you have the early signing day. You throw in the transfer portal, a lot of movement already. This day has lost a little bit of its luster, but make no mistake, it's still an important one for a lot of college football teams across the country. Joining us now to break down Utah and where they're at, Michelle Bodkin, KSL Sports Utah Insider. Kind enough to join us. Michelle, long time no talk to you. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So Utah on, well, I think it was, what, December 21st was the early signing day. They cleaned out. Top 20 class, highest ranked class they've had in a long time. Was there anything done today to try to supplement that class?
There were, a few things that they were kind of looking at, waiting on, but nothing crazy serious. They pretty much were done in December, and part of that's also due to who decided to come back as well. That kind of eliminated some needs that they maybe would have needed to still address in this February signing period, if guys like Cam Rising and Brant Keithy and the like didn't decide to come back as well. So it kind of changed things down. They don't have a ton of space to bring a few, more people on. It was pretty well done in December. We'll see what happens once, the portal opens up again and guys decide to transfer after spring ball and who they may bring in as transfers. But otherwise, Utah's pretty well set for 2023.
So young man, good tight end prospect named Walker Lyons appeared like he was down to, from what I've read, Georgia and Utah. But instead, he goes to USC. Was there a bit of a surprise with that?
I mean, it surprised me a little bit. I don't know if the coaches surprised by that. I do know that at one point there was some pretty good confidence between Utah and Georgia that it was between them. And so USC kind of coming into it at the end, a little bit of a surprise, at least for someone like me that, maybe doesn't follow it quite as closely. But as far as signing day goes, like the one thing kind of learned is there always is a surprise somewhere or something that maybe catches you a little bit off guard, a team that comes in late. And sometimes Utah has been that team, right?
Yeah.
Even back to like Clark Phillips with Ohio State. Ohio State thought they had him in the bag, and Utah came in and got him. So, you know, everybody kind of takes their turn with that. Apparently it was USC's turn, and that's where Walker Lyons has decided to go.
Overall, though, is what we saw in December with that signing class, is that the sign of where Utah is in terms of prestige across the country with their ability to sign a class of that magnitude?
You know, I think there's at least the potential for that. I think Utah's still in a place where they kind of have to continue proving themselves. They have to keep winning. They have to keep being in the conference championship conversation. They have to keep being in the conversation of potentially being a playoff dark horse or even sliding into the playoffs now that it's moving to a 12-team format, you know, or making Rose Bowl appearances. They just need to kind of, I think, prove that they can sustain this is where they're at. But they're well on their way, and I feel like they have a kind of proven track record no matter where they've been for the last little bit since Ronnie Mack kind of came on. They've kind of proven that they can, you know, hang wherever it is that they are, and they're finally starting to show that, I think, in the Pac-12 era, in the college football playoff era. But they're going to have to just show that they can sustain that. And if they can show that they can sustain that and that they can provide good opportunities for guys to come in, develop, make a little NIL money. Not that that's going to be, I think, the big thing that Utah tips their hat off of, but I think it's more the promise of we can develop you to where the NFL is absolutely going to be knocking down your door to come and play for them. So, you know, just keeping on top of things like that, showing that this is a good place to come and a good option if you want to win and you want to get the right kind of attention. And if they can do that, then yeah, you know, a top 25, top 20 class could very, very easily be realistic for Utah moving forward year in and year out.
So, yeah, I think you bring up a really good point, too. I mean, that's your focus, is not just do it one year, but to do it consistently and be in that top 20 year in and year out. And granted, NIL is going to have a little bit to do with it, but at the end of the day, a kid's got to think I'll just say this. If my son was a safety or a linebacker or a defensive lineman, you know, there's certain positions I think that if Kyle Whittingham walks into my house and he says, I think your son is an NFL player, and I'm going to say, well, you probably ought to listen to him because let's roll off the amount of kids that he's put into the NFL. And at the end of the day, NIL is nice, but you want that NFL paycheck. You want that NFL pension. You want all the goodies that come along with being an NFL player. And there are certain positions where Kyle Whittingham puts guys in the NFL as much, if not more, than anybody else in the country. And that's a real telling sign.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest things that Utah can sell to kids. Like I said, it's not that there aren't NIL opportunities, but it is a lot more, I think, limited.
Yeah.
And part of that just because we live in a much smaller city. So we don't necessarily have the high rollers and whatnot. Now, could that change 5 years, 10 years down the road? Yes, because we're growing. The city's growing. This place is growing. We're attracting, I mean, we're talking about, you know, athletics, but part of this is also attracting top academic talent as well that maybe goes on and has some of these mega companies that wants to invest in NIL. This is all stuff that Utah is kind of growing up in and getting better at. And really, I would probably argue every school in the state of Utah. This is just kind of a new thing that we're starting to get into because the city and the state is growing at a very rapid rate.
Michelle Bach. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yes, that I think that is exactly what Utah needs to hang their hat on, is we put guys in the NFL and we have the respect from the NFL.
Michelle Bodkin, Utah insider for KSLSports.com, kind enough to join us. All right, so Michelle, where's your confidence level that Cam Rising will be good to go week one when Utah opens up the regular season?
That is a fantastic question. I mean, if we look at it from how he recovered from his first injury, which is a very different injury than what we're kind of being told or what the indication is shoulder versus some kind of leg knee deal with Cam. You know, he actually came back from that faster than was predicted. So it stands to reason that, you know, he maybe could do that again and be good to go and ready to go. I am of the standpoint of, you know, if he makes it back early, great. If he doesn't, you know, hopefully Utah's doing what they need to do to make sure that whoever is prepared to take on that role for as long as they need to, whether it's, you know, the first part of the season, whether it's the full season, you know, whatever. Because you just never know with injuries. That's the thing, is you can always hope for the best. And I absolutely hope for the best for Cam, because he's a great kid and he deserves to go out on top. Like, I just can't even imagine, you know, that we don't see him come back in 2023. That just feels awful and not right to me for him. But you just never know with injuries. There could be a setback. There could be, you know, something that comes up that's unexpected in the recovery process. And so you have to allow for that and be patient and, you know, work through it with him. So we'll see how it goes. I do have to say it feels pretty positive if Kyle's kind of going on record and saying that they expect him to be back by fall. I think that's a good sign. I don't think Kyle would go and say something like that if it weren't true and if that wasn't really a goal that they were gunning towards.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So I do play-by-play for Utah State, and they had a quarterback that, you know, had a tremendous season 2 years ago, and but injured his knee in a bowl game. And while the doctor said, hey, look, it's healed, you're ready to go, it just, for whatever reason, it didn't click. And it just never kind of got to where he needed to be during the season. And then he suffered another injury and was out for the year. So my concern a little bit is that there will be, even if you're healthy, it still isn't just what you expect. And when those injuries happen so late in the season, it can create those problems. So if there is, heaven forbid, because I don't think anybody's rooting more for Cam Rising than any of us out there, because it's just, he's a great story. He's a great kid. You want to see him go out there and tear it up. But heaven forbid something doesn't quite click, or it's just not ready, or he takes a little bit longer to get going. What does that quarterback room look like going into next season outside of Cam Rising, you know, as potential help that might be needed to get through maybe the first part of the year?
Yeah, I mean, thankfully they do have some young guys that have, you know, had the opportunity to sit for a year, kind of learn, take things in, understand the offense. Guys like Nate Johnson, who he saw his role obviously get elevated a little bit last year. And not that he did anything too crazy or too creative, but he did start to travel with the team, and that's huge. That's very big experience for him. They have a kid by the name of Brandon Rose that, you know, we didn't hear as much from. But I think we're going to hear a lot more about him through the spring, since Cam's not going to be available to do spring ball stuff. Of course, you know, we know Bryson Barnes. We know what he brings to the table. I don't know that he's really the answer for them moving forward. And then they, of course, just signed, you know, a kid by the name of Mac Howard out of Oxford, Mississippi. I don't believe he's here for spring. Oh, no, actually, he is here for spring. He is enrolled. So, you know, he's going to have opportunities to, you know, really kind of get his feet wet and showcase what he can do and what he can bring. I personally think Utah's best bet is trying to figure out who of the young guys that they have on are they going to roll with. You have this is a situation where I think you have to look to the future. They've done the transfer thing, and I'm not saying they absolutely could and should maybe look for a transfer, depending on, you know, where Cam's looking in his recovery process, just to shore things up, perhaps. But I don't know that you go into it thinking that that's going to be your answer or your solution. I think you really try and work with Mack Howard, Brandon Rose, Nate Johnson, and try to get one of them up and ready to go. Because after that, you know, you don't want a transfer that's maybe 1 or 2 years in and is going to be out of here. You want someone that's going to grow with you. So to me, it makes the most sense to get one of those guys trained up if Cam's not ready to go. If he is, groom them to be the backup. And again, it's not a knock against Bryson Barnes. I just think he does have a bit of a ceiling, and I think he's a solid backup. I think he's a guy you can depend on to come in and not screw things up. But I don't know that he's someone that you count on to lead the team and win games.
How surprised were you to see Mike and Bernard back out of the portal, back with the Utes? And, you know, Kyle's made some statements in the past where if you hit the portal, you're done. You're gone. And we wish you well, but that's it. But the Utes still brought him back. Were you surprised to see that?
That was kind of a yes and no. It was really one of those things when Makai decided to transfer. I just had a hard time picturing him being anywhere else because he's just everything that Utah football kind of embodies. You know, the reasoning was, you know, just hoping to maybe showcase himself a little bit more, have an opportunity to be running back number one. But the fact of the matter is there aren't a lot of teams that really just run with one running back. It really kind of anymore is a running back by committee kind of sport just because of the wear and tear that it puts on your body. And so, you know, my understanding was they never stopped, you know, staying in contact. It was not a bad blood type of situation. I think it really was he did everything that was asked of him. He graduated. He put up good numbers for them, solid numbers for him. He was a great leader in the locker room. We'll let you go test the waters. And if you don't find anything better, you are more than welcome to come back because we feel like you really add something to what we do. And I think that's exactly what the case was. I don't think he found, you know, anything better, anything that felt more right than being with Utah. And so, you know, having him back is a huge deal. And that was something that I think changed big time what Utah was kind of planning on doing in regards to signing day today. So kind of interesting how that all ends up working out.
So before I let you go, Alyssa Peely is going to join us coming up at 2:30. Excited to talk to her about that women's basketball team. What has made her play so special and this team so special this year? Because it looks like they're poised to make a big run coming up here in March.
I love the way Alyssa Peely plays. I think she is so confident. I love how aggressive she just attacks it. She doesn't care. And she is not afraid to size up, box out anybody. She's just a joy to watch. But I think what's kind of been working for her and working for the team is her attitude has really trickled down into the rest of that team. They all kind of play with that nastiness and that edge and that, you know, it's maybe looking a little rough, but we'll get it done type of attitude. And I think that was maybe something that was missing a little bit last year when they made their late run. And so having an attitude like that in the locker room, just that swagger, that confidence, I think is really cool. And I think she's added, like I said, I think she's added a whole lot to that team. And Lynn Roberts has been very much on record saying, as good as Alyssa has been, she thinks that they can squeeze a little bit more out of her and that she'll be even better next year. So that's a really exciting thought for this team because they're going to pretty much return everyone once again next year. And so it should be another really good year after this year for Utah women's basketball.
Well, Michelle, appreciate it. Thanks for your time and look forward to reading your stuff over at KSLSports.com. But thanks for hopping on with us.
No problem, Scotty.
There you go. Michelle Bodkin, Ute Insider, KSLSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.